The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see. If you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart, he'll abide. Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see.
An old song, but it's still a very, very meaningful one. Thank you, Jeanne. The flowers on the platform and out in the lobby today, we'd like to encourage you to take them home with you, okay? Thanks to Judy. But feel free to take one of them home or take them and give them to somebody else if you'd like to. I'd like to say a special thank you today to John and Janice for the beautiful flowers and the kind words. You know, I was trying to think what I could give to all of you in thanks. And I thought, you know, what could Bonnie and I ever do to repay all of you for your patience, your love, your much kindness over the years. And you know, I thought to myself, probably the very best gift that I could ever give to all of you, that we could give to all of you, is a greater desire to know Jesus Christ. And if in any way you have been encouraged to know Jesus better, if in any way you've been encouraged to dig deeper into God's Word, well, then I think that we have given you the best gift that we could ever give. And we'd like to encourage you again this morning that to know Jesus is what real life is all about. To know Jesus is life eternal. So we'd like to encourage you each and every day to get better acquainted with him. He was only a stranger, but he desired to be much more. He was only a stranger, and yet his great desire was to bring an ever-deepening meaning into their lives. I think that the story that Lois shared with us so beautifully this morning from Luke is one of the most thrilling stories in all of the New Testament. It's a story that Henry Nouwen, in his little book, Burning Hearts, about burning hearts, tries to show the many different facets of what was really going on there that day with that mystery, that stranger that was walking with the two disciples. You know, we meet many different people in life. We meet them on vacations. I remember when we were going through Europe on the train, we met many interesting people. We had many wonderful conversations. Sometimes you meet interesting people out shopping. Sometimes you meet them on the airplane. There's many different places that we meet people, but usually we don't invite those people into our home. Usually those do not become meaningful relationships. They're just interesting conversations that we've had with some stranger that we met. In the story for today, one of the things that tremendously intrigues me about this is that the key thing hinges completely upon an invitation by Cleopas and the fellow disciple who is with him. An invitation was a key. You know, when we think about invitations in the Bible, we usually think of the gospel invitation where Jesus is inviting us to come to him. But not so in this story. In this particular story, everything hinged on the invitation by Cleopas and his friend, inviting Jesus to come in, inviting Jesus to come into their home. He had given them a lot to think about. In fact, when they thought back upon his words, they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" It was a fascinating conversation. But just consider for just a moment, if they had never insisted on him coming in, would they have ever really known him? Nothing would have ever really happened if they had not invited him in. Come in and stay with us. Come in and stay with us. The invitation makes all of the difference in this story. Now, you know, Jesus is a very interesting person. His words are very, very meaningful. His presence is heartwarming. You can sense that throughout the story. His message is challenging, but if you and I do not invite him in, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. And unfortunately, there's many people who know about Jesus. They know about his miracles. They know about all of the wonderful things that he has said and done. But nothing really happens in their lives because they never really give him that invitation to come in to their hearts. Never give him the invitation to come. And you see, he wants to know us. He wants to know us behind the four walls of our homes. He wants to know the people who are in our homes. He wants to know the friends that we have over. He wants to know what's in every room of our homes, even those that we keep safely locked away. He wants to know. He wants to know us in our everyday walk, in our everyday life. He wants to know us 24/7. And the question is, are we willing to trust him that much? Are we willing to trust him that much, to let him come in every moment of every day, so that he knows what is going on? He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're doing. Do we trust him that much that we can invite him in? I'd like to suggest to you this morning that communion is our invitation to him to come in and to be a part of our lives. The communion service around the table with him is where we come to know him better. And it's really our invitation to come in to our hearts. The story in our scripture for this morning is the story of a God who wants to come close to us. It's a story of a God who wants us to be able to reach out and touch him and see him and hear him in every area of our lives. It's a story of a God who loves us so much that he wants to know us intimately. Henry Nouwen, in another little book entitled Letters to Mark About Jesus, says, whenever you receive the body and the blood of Jesus, the emblems he chose to represent himself, his love is given to you, the same love that he showed on the cross. It is the love of God for all people of all time and in all places, all races and classes, all tribes and nations, all sinners and saints. On the cross, Jesus has shown us how far God's love reaches. It's a love which embraces even those who crucified him. And it is that stranger, a stranger on the road to Emmaus, who longs this morning to come into your heart and to come into my heart, because more than anything else, he wants you and me to have a meaningful life with him. So he wants to come in. This morning, I'd like to invite you to contemplate his desire to come into your heart as we prepare to participate in the ordinance of humility, the foot washing service, and in the communion service. I'd like to say to you all who are gathered here today that we here at English Oaks, we practice an open communion, and everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is welcome to participate. And usually for children, that means that they have accepted Jesus and been baptized. You know, one of the thrilling things, she's no longer right here right now, but one of the thrilling things was to watch Heather's face. Yes, there she is. The excitement and joy. Jesus wants us all to have that kind of excitement and joy every day in him. Every day in him. And Heather and Jamel, we will be praying for the two of you that excitement and joy will live on in your hearts in the days and months and years until Jesus comes. This morning, for the ordinance of humility, if there are those who would like to remain in the sanctuary, there will be music for meditation in here. The ladies will participate together in the youth chapel. The men in the early teen room, and the married couples and or families in the fellowship hall. We'd like to encourage you as you finish participating in those various places to quietly return to the sanctuary and reverently meditate upon God's desire to be a part of your heart and your life. So I invite you at this time to separate for the ordinance of humility.